by mistake, he nails me right in the lower back. Whap! I could not breathe. You know how your breath is knocked out of you? Whap! Oh, I couldn't breathe. And the words that they were saying that were in my memory banks began to move towards my speech. I turned around and looked at him and I said, that hurt.
Aloha and welcome to Words of New Hope from New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu, Hawaii. Today, part two of a message entitled 10 Times Better, a message that examines the life of Daniel, a man who is known to be 10 times better than all the other wise men in the kingdom. Pastor Wayne will show us some characteristics from Daniel's life that allowed him to be elevated to such a place of prominence in the king's palace. When we left off yesterday, Pastor Wayne was talking about how we can handle situations in life that just wear us down. Here he is with a message entitled 10 Times Better.
Yeah, I tell you, there's sometimes I forget that I'm a pastor. I get mad at people and I forget, and I've got to remember that I'm identifying with the Lord. Especially, you know, when you're on like the freeway, don't you forget that you're a Christian sometime? I was actually going to the Leeward site and I was going to speak there at the grand opening, and I was, you know, supposed to speak like in an hour or so. And so I'm on the freeway and it's packed. And stop, go, stop, go, stop, go, stop. And the guy behind me kept going. Bam, knocked the back of my car. Kaboom. Oh, no. So I walked outside and his grill was all messed up and my muffler was bent underneath and messed up my bumper. And I said, oh, no. And he goes, look, he looks at it and lets out a very colorful expletive that I can't share with you. But he was very concerned and angry. And I said, oh, I'll just get an estimate then. He said, yeah, don't turn it into my insurance because I get $1,000 deductible. I'm going to raise my insurance way up higher. So I said, okay, I'll just do the best I can and see what I can bring it down to. Oh, okay. So we go and I speak because I needed to get there to speak. And so I tried to fix the car. I had a friend, you know, heat up the muffler pipe and bend it back. And so I did it all myself and kind of pulled the bumper out and changed it and made it all good. So there's just a little bit left, some painting and a strip that I have to buy. And so finally, after about a couple of weeks, I called him up and I said, hey, it was about a $1,600 damage, but I brought it down to just $400. I did a bunch of the work myself. So could you just send me like a check for $400 and we'll take care of it? And he said, oh, you know, I don't make that much money, but. It was $1,600, and I did a bunch of the work myself to keep it down for you, so it's only $400. He said, oh, I don't know how much I get in the paycheck, but. So I said, could you do like installments? Would that help you? He said, I don't know, like what? I said, $100 a month is fine. He said, I don't know, that's a lot of money, but I don't make that much money. That's just $100 a month, and you know, you need to kind of keep responsibility for what you did. And he said, yeah, I know, but I haven't checked my paycheck yet. So I said, well, why don't you check your pay stub and see what you can do, you know, and then let me know and maybe just do installments. He said, okay, I'm going to check my check and then I'll call you back. Hey, brother. Okay, all right. I haven't heard from him since. And I thought, no. And then, you know, that kind of boils inside and you forget you're a pastor. I thought, I'm trying my best to help this idiot. And then, so I just, you know, you forget, isn't that right? So I want to call him up and say, hey, ugly.
Who it is?
This your worst nightmare. This is who this is. You think you broke. When I pile suing you, you're going to be so broke you won't even have money for pay attention. You know, and then I remember, oh, wait a minute. I'm a pastor. So do we get worn down? Do our identities get a little frazzled sometimes? Yeah. So would you write in that bullet right under there, what do you do?
Sue the bugger is what you do.
Oh, that's wrong. No. Renew your identity often. Yeah, because you know, because if you give in to the impulse of and you lose who you really are, You know what? Listen carefully. You'll get up one morning, you'll look in the mirror, and you'll hate the person you've become. I don't want to be this person that I've become. How'd that happen? You just lost your identity little by little. It doesn't happen overnight, but you got to renew it often. Well, you say, well, how do you do that? One of the best ways to renew your identity is in the midst of worship. And as you stand before God, God is renewing his identity in you. You see, because the devil really wants to wear you down. In fact, in Daniel 7, he talks about this, the scheme of the enemy. Let's read it together in Daniel 7 as he speaks about the devil. Go. And he will speak out against the Most High and wear down the saints of the Highest One. Would you underline wear down the saints? Do you know that that's the strategy to wear you down? And that word to wear you down comes from an ancient illustration story, word story of a coin that's minted usually with the emperor's picture or the king's picture. And as people trade with these coin, let's say it's a $20 gold coin, that coin's value is determined by the weight of gold that's actually intrinsic in that coin. Let's say 10 ounces or whatever of gold in this coin, but just by reason of use, not because anyone defaced the coin, but just by reason of use in commerce and daily living, that coin gets worn down just by handling it. And that's why often you'll see the merchants, if they see that it's been worn, they don't just take it by face value. You know, like today, if it's a quarter, even if it's worn, it's still worth 25 cents. But in those days, that value was determined by the weight of gold in that coin. And so if they saw that it was worn down, they wouldn't just take it by face value. They'd take it and put it on a scale. They'd take 10 ounces and put it on there and see if it had enough gold still in it. And if it weighted down at 8 ounces rather than 10, they'll say, okay, I'll take your $20 gold coin, but it's only worth $16. You owe me 4 more in order to make it 20. And you see, because it's been worn down, it is now worth less than what it was. It is valued less. Now listen carefully. You and I, just by reason of living, will get worn down. Oh, not because you're trying to deface your life or anything wrong or you're insidious or evil. No, you'll get worn down as a mother. You're raising children. If you're a single mom, you'll get worn down because of this thing called life. Dad, you're going to get worn down because of the stresses of the job and the anxiety and the pressure. It'll just wear you down. And the enemy looks for that because it makes you vulnerable. And then he begins to lie to you and he tells you you're worth less as a mom. You're worth less as a dad. You're worth less as a Christian. And the image that God minted on us in the beginning, the image of the king, just by reason of living, gets worn down. You don't feel like you're that valued anymore. And it is then the enemy begins to lie to you, and we have a tendency to accept that lie because we're worn down. And that's what he wants to do. He speaks out against the Most High or tells you God doesn't really love you. God doesn't really have a place for you. And he wears down the saints of the Highest One. That's the picture. You say, well, Wayne, how do you renew your identity? How do you remint that image of the king back on? Well, one is in the midst of worship where you stand before God and you just don't sing songs. When we gather here, we don't just sing songs. We are involved in worship as we speak love and speak words and speak praise and allegiance to the king. He then begins to remint his image on you and you realize, I am loved, I am valued, I am worthwhile. And when you leave, you leave with the image of the king freshly minted on your heart as a mom, as a dad, as a son, as a daughter. And another way to renew that image or your identity is in your daily devotions. As you're reading the Bible, God begins to speak to you and you walk away with a newly minted image of Christ on you because he's created us in his image, but the world wears that down. And when it does, you become very vulnerable to the lies of the enemy. Renew your identity often. Now, Daniel had a tendency to want to bail out, but did he? No. There was a day when a bunch of people said to the king, let's have this law passed that if anybody gives any allegiance to anyone except the king for 30 days, we're going to throw him in the lion's den. How's that? The king said, yeah, let's go for it. So they actually sign a document. Now, Daniel had prayed 3 times a day. That was his identity. Do you think it ruined him? Did he bail out? Let's read the scripture and we'll see. Go. Now, when Daniel knew that the document was signed, he continued to pray on his knees 3 times a day, praying and giving thanks before his God as he had been doing previously. Listen very carefully. There's going to be times the devil's going to come and wear you down as a husband. And you're going to think, oh, you know what? I got too much going, too busy. I'm too depressed to do devotions. Don't you dare. That's a lie. Daniel continued doing what he had previously been doing. Why? Because in times of wear, if you pull yourself out of church and out of devotions because you're too busy, he just greased your slide and the devil's got you going faster. Because the very things that remint his image in you, you've bailed out from. You keep that because it'll be your lifeline during the time of wear. And it'll remint you and it'll help you to gain your value back. Well, you say, well, Wayne, why then does God allow us to go through those times of suffering and stuff where we feel worn down? What is that? Why did Job have to go through that and Daniel have to go through that? Let me tell you why God sometimes allows you, doesn't cause, but allows you to go through suffering. The reason is this. Often suffering is one of life's greatest classrooms. Because when you suffer, you get really open to God. Isn't that right? You're like in the dentist and they're drilling. That's where I confess all my sins to God. You know, I come out squeaky clean. When you're sick and you're on the gurney going into the operating table, your heart is all open to God, isn't it? Listen, in the midst of suffering, watch this. Please listen. God will always prepare the heart of the student before he deposits the lessons. If he doesn't prepare your heart, it's like hard ground. He puts seed on it, doesn't go anywhere. So because the seed is precious to God and he wants it to take root in your life and mine so that we can build from within a character, a spirit that bears fruit, that seed has got to get in, the lesson's got to get in. But if the ground is hard, he has to break up the fallow ground, the hard soil. He has to prepare the student before he deposits the lesson. Is that fun? No, it's terrible. It's tough. But you know what? If that's going to mean that my heart is open in order to gain that lesson, then Lord, you go for it. I was some time ago feeling really acidic in my stomach and I was feeling real nauseous for days and days and things weren't going right in my body. And I went in and the doctor, just a real encouraging guy, said, we better do a cancer test. Might be cancer. I thought, oh, thanks. That really helps me out. And so they took a bunch of blood. And then when it goes to the lab, it's not like 1 hour and you get the results. It's like 3 days. Do you know what you're going through in those 3 days waiting to see whether it's positive or negative? And I thought, I'm going to die. I know I'm going to die. I know I'm going to come back. Man, I'm going to die. And it's in those times of frailty that, isn't it true, you start to ask God, Lord, what do I need to do? If you just help me stay alive, I'll serve you forever, forever. And that's when the Lord says, I want you to change this, I want to change that. You're treating this person bad, you're treating that person bad. And isn't it true that you just change? Like, and during those 3 days, I was the lovingest, nicest guy in the world. I love you. I love you. I love you. And then 3 days goes by and it comes back negative. And then what do? Now you just revert back to your old way. I hate you. I hate you. But this is what God is saying. He's saying, no, Wayne, you know why I softened your heart? You know why you were in that position and that posture? It's so that I could plant seeds that'll go deep into you that would never have gone any other way except that you had to go through the valley. But listen, when I give you back my favor and my compassion, don't lose the lesson. Don't vomit it out. Don't cast it off. Keep it. Because you weren't receptive. I made you receptive. I planted in you seeds that will change your spirit. Now when I give you my favor back, keep that lesson because it'll change your destiny. I love you that much. And that's why when you go through these times, here's another number two, would you write in? We've got to trust in and accept God's ways. Trust in and accept God's ways. Because sometimes we say, God, why? We put our fist towards heaven. Why are you letting this suffering go on? Instead of saying, Lord, what do you want me to become? What things do I need to change in my life? Because you're a whole lot more receptive when you're in that posture. And when God deposits those lessons and things turn for the good, man, don't lose the lessons. That's the best classroom of life. But you know, here is the toughest step of all in developing a spirit of excellence. Not only deciding once and for all to identify with God, and then being someone who's allowing God to move in such a way that you trust in and accept His ways, even through the suffering, that's the second. But here's the third, and this is the toughest. It's hard. Be willing to be tested. Would you write that in? Oh, I know, it's not easy. Be willing to be tested, because we don't like tests. We hate it. But you see, we've got to be willing to be tested. Oh, no, I didn't say tempted. I said tested. You see, it's like this podium here. If a carpenter built this, he's going to test it before he sells it to you or gives it to you as a gift or whatever. He's going to test it. No, he's not going to tempt it in order to break it. His goal isn't to destroy it, but he's going to put some pressure on it. Why? In order to destroy it? No, in order to certify it and say, this is ready. This is ready for market. This is ready for a gift. This is ready to give, whatever it might be. It has been tested and now it's documented and certified. Listen, this is what God wants to do. He'll put pressure on you because He wants you to feel that sense of confidence that there's a certification on your life. There's a value. God tested. That won't ever come until you allow Him to test you. And that's what Daniel did. Let's read what it says here. Daniel 1:12. Go. Please test your servant for 10 days. Then let us be given some vegetables and water to drink. Then let our appearance be observed in your presence. So he listened to them and, yeah, as you are tested, no, not tempted, because the devil will tempt. God never tempts. He tests in order to certify and document. But your faith is going to be given to you when you receive Christ. So you have faith. Now that faith is not yet tested. But once it's tested and pressed a little bit, out comes, boop, patience. I develop some patience. And through that suffering time, boop, comes a little bit of something of an attitude of trust, gracious spirit. And then insight, wisdom, understanding, compassion for others when they're going through problems. Now you see these things, see these character qualities that a tested faith produced? God says, you see this? This is more precious than gold. What's more precious than gold? My faith? No. What your faith has produced, or the proof of your faith. Let's read the next scripture and you'll see. Go. That the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Would you underline the proof of your faith? What is more precious than gold? Or what has your faith produced? Since you've come to faith, has that made you any better of a person because of it? Are you any more patient? Is your life 10 times better? 3 times better? Is your marriage any better? Is your attitude better? Do you still stumble over the same things you stumbled over 2 years ago? Are you more compassionate towards people? Has your faith produced anything? You say, yeah, it has. I am more patient. I am someone that is more compassionate. And I am someone who has a better attitude. It has produced some things. Yeah, okay, Wayne, you see that? Yeah, that's what's more precious than gold. Because you see, if you have a faith but it hasn't produced anything, if you're no better because of it, it hasn't produced anything. Well, when does my faith start producing these things that make it more precious than gold? When does it produce that? After it's tested. After, you've got to be willing to let your life be tested, because once it's tested, if you fail, then you know where you got to work on. That's all. But if it comes through, it'll produce something in your life that'll be the basic ingredients of a spirit of excellence. Where do you get these things? Faith that was tested. So we've got to be willing, like the psalmist, to say, test me or search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and see if there be any wicked way in me. Because if you're not willing to be tested, then you're going to believe one thing publicly, but you're living a whole different thing privately. And there's no worse way to live than when you're living an inconsistent life like that. It's terrible. But when it becomes genuine all the way to the core, because you're willing to be tested. Oh, I found this wrong with you. Okay, I'm sorry. Let's change that. Because I don't want it. I want what's right. So you've got to be willing to be tested. I mean, not gullible to those that just want to take shots at you. I'm not saying that. But when God tests you, allow Him to do that. And you'll know that it's Him. It's not always easy. I remember I was playing racquetball, and I joined a club here in town. And there was an informal group of guys that played Monday, Wednesday, Fridays at 5 a.m. So they said, hey, come, join us. So I'm a morning person, so I said, yeah. Now, these guys are like non-Christian, non-God-fearing people. Just their colorful vocabulary in the court that defined when they missed a ball or something didn't go the way they wanted it to go. They defined and described things very colorfully. And so this went on and on until it was just a blue streak. Every other word was this word, that word, and it's just like common. Well, you know, they didn't know I was a pastor, and so they just kept going, and I didn't tell them, and we just kept playing. And this went on for like a month and a half, 2 months, 2.5 months. I didn't say anything. We just, you know, and every once in a while I'd miss, and I'd think, oh, I want to say the same thing they did because it must have made them feel better afterwards. And I don't know, but I thought, So just kept playing, you know. But one day, after about 3 months or so, I nailed a shot. And I stand waiting, you know, for the guy to hit it and so I can hit it again. So I nail it, and then I'm waiting, and this guy winds up in back of me, this big guy, and hits it. And by mistake, he nails me right in the lower back. Whap! I could not breathe. You know how your breath is knocked out of you? Whap! I couldn't breathe. And the words that they were saying that were in my memory banks began to move towards my speech. I turned around and looked at him and I said, that hurt. That hurt. And I'm sorry, I didn't mean to. That's all right. So, you know, after it was done, I caught my breath back and I was raised from the dead. When the game was over, we were sitting down. I had some, you know, ice on it. I thought, wow, that thing hurt. And so the guy said, hey, I'm sorry. I thought, oh, no problem. Not your fault. That happens. And so he sat back for a little bit and he said, hey, you know something. I said, what? I've been watching you on TV the last 2 months. You turkey. You know, the first thing I thought was, you turkey. How come you didn't tell me this 2 months ago, you know? I said, 2 months? You didn't tell me that before? Yeah, 2 months. Yeah, I've been here like 3 months. How come you didn't tell me before? He said, I was just watching you. So I laughed and I said, well, good, keep watching. And you know, about 3-4 weeks later, he showed up in church. And I thought, you know, interesting. It's like you don't start to influence like Daniel did with the spirit of excellence. You don't influence until your faith is willing to be tested. If I don't want it to be tested, then the influence comes after, not before. Is it easy? No, it's not. Is it necessary? Yes, it is. And always remember that it is God who's not tempting you to destroy you. He's testing you to certify you, so that he can declare in heaven, here's someone that I'm going to use to influence her family. Here's someone I'm going to use to influence his friends. Here's someone I'm going to use to influence her community. And he's certifying you and me. And my prayer is that one day we'll look at the roll call and all of our names will have a certification next to it. Bang, spirit of excellence. They're usable for the kingdom. I want God to say that about every single one of us. Amen. I do.
You have just heard the conclusion of a message entitled 10 Times Better by Dr. Wayne Cordero of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. Thank you for listening to Words of New Hope. Until next time, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's very best, and aloha.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? A place where passion and creativity thrive in a community pursuing something greater than themselves. That place is New Hope Christian College.
New Hope Christian College is a place where everyone knows everyone. Your teachers really do care about you, they want you to succeed, and they're willing to partner with you to do whatever it takes to make that happen.
The education that I've received at New Hope has really equipped me to graduate market ready.
No matter where you come from, New Hope Christian College is a place where you can come to find community.
There's a place for you at New Hope Christian College. For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.